And we begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity of Love. Amen. Well, good morning, each of you. Thanks for your presence today in the sanctuary. It's good to be together in person on this beautiful third Sunday of Easter. Really encouraged by your presence. Just a couple of announcements, and all of these can be found in your bulletin or on the church website. We have an adult baptism class that will begin on Saturday, May 14th, and conclude on June 4th. The class starts at 9 a.m. and goes to 10:30. It's Zoom class, and it's led by our Mary Ann Best, who is the abbess of the Journey School and a longtime member and board member of this church, and a woman of great being and wisdom. And you'd be blessed to learn what baptism is from Mary Ann. This is what I call our baptismal font, and it stands as a pair to the Eucharist, because these are two of the sacraments the church celebrates. And so water is the symbol of cleansing and claiming and reminding. I think of baptism and water as the symbol of, like, the wedding ring. The wedding ring doesn't make you married, it just symbolizes your union. So too, the baptismal water doesn't make you a child of God per se, it just symbolizes that you're consenting to be a child of God. And so if you're interested in learning more about baptism and being baptized for the first time or again in our community, I encourage you to look that up online and register for that class. We have a multi-dimensional approach to centering prayer with Jim Riala. Jim has blessed our community with different ways of entering into the centering prayer experience, and this retreat will be a blessing. It's on Saturday, May 21st from 9 to 3 in the afternoon. We have a five-day welcoming prayer, centering prayer retreat. The welcoming prayer is such an on-the-go way of integrating our silence into our day-to-day life. If you're interested in taking time away at Cedar Break, which is a retreat center we use in Belton, to be in the silence with others, it's a beautiful gift to give to yourself. Check that out. Also, today at the conclusion of service, we're just going to take a brief pause for a potty break, and then we're going to go right into our annual meeting. So please don't go far. After the benediction, we really wish to just turn into the congregational meeting. You're welcome to stay if you're not a formal church member, and listen in. We invite members to vote. I want to also just say a good word about our new community reading for May and June. It's called Bodyfulness. It's by Christine Caldwell. This is a Shambhala publication, so it's a Buddhist perspective, just lovely. More information and just transformation about the body and integrating the body in our spiritual journeys and the healing that comes as we do this body work. Bodyfulness, somatic practices for presence, empowerment, and waking up in this life. Sounds pretty good, huh? Also, I wanted to highlight the fact that the new Mark has come out. The Mark is our monthly newsletter. You can get a PDF version of this by way of the church website. Just sign up for that and we'll mail it to you, or you can get printed copies of this. But in this issue, we have two lovely essays and contributions from two women in our community that are extraordinary. And I just wanted to say thank you, Anna, for your vulnerability and sharing and your teaching through that. And Gay Bullard's elder wisdom is not to be missed. So thank you, Gay, wherever you are, for this beautiful edition of the Mark. And thank you to Sandra Ely and all who contribute to making this beautiful resource each month. I believe that's all, but I should say something, just a reminder about the Eucharist, since I see new faces in the room. We are celebrating the Eucharist with the common cup, which we're inviting you to come forward to receive. The way this will work is I will have bread, the host, on this side, and there will be bread on this side. There will also be gluten-free bread in the middle, if you wish for gluten-free. There will be two cups on either side. There is not a non-alcoholic option. This is all wine that we're serving. We encourage you and ask that you do not dip or intinct your bread into the cup, but partake by way of common cup. If you do not wish to receive the cup, but wish to simply have a gesture of reverence, you can do this to the cup. When you come forward to receive the Eucharist, just cup your hands, and we will drop the host into your hands to avoid contact. There will also be hand sanitizer up here if you wish to sanitize before you receive, and we also will be sanitizing before we give. Okay, I think that's everything. So let's just take a moment again to center in what is it that has brought you here today. Thank you for your effort and your will to be here. There's so many things you could be doing. What do you wish for from this service? Wish for that, and blessings to everyone beside you and in this room and all who are partaking online, that this service would bless the world. Take this wish and multiply it to be love and presence and consciousness to counter all the forces of unconsciousness, lies, violence, and fear. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Let us combine together with the Holy Spirit and each other with our song, Come and Pray in Us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit. Let's stand and know together that the gospel in one word is love.
Love, 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 the gospel in one word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, 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 the gospel in one word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. As God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For Christ was not yes and no, but yes. For however many are the promises of God, their yes is in Christ. Therefore, the Amen from us also goes through Christ to God for glory. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
That scripture reading zipped by, didn't it? The point is, and the takeaway is from that scripture, is that in Christ, everything is a yes. No matter if you can't reach yes, no matter if you can't find that resolution in your life to move you forward, everything is in Christ, and it's a yes. And this is the good news of the gospel, that when you can't, God can. That when you have no ability to see the way forward, Christ does and shows up and brings the yes. Now, this is really quite extraordinary to think about, that in a certain sense, everything that we experience in life can be transformed into grace, into goodness, into a yes. What do we mean by yes and no? The yes and no are energies. Yes, in a certain sense, is desire or affirming. No is resisting or denying. And there we begin to see the emergence of a very powerful idea that's not just limited to the work that we teach here, but it's quite expansive and shows up in all different places, philosophically and theologically. But there's a first force, a wanting, a desiring, a second force, a resisting, a denying. And if we were just left with the fight between yes and no, zeros and ones, we would get nowhere. If that were the state on this planet, nothing would happen. But it's not just first force and second force. There's also third force. Yeah. Now, whether there's a fourth or a fifth or a sixth force, we don't know, but maybe. The point is that for everything that exists on this planet, everything that is manifesting, both in the physical dimension and the emotional dimension and the spiritual dimension, so the teaching tells us, everything that manifests, that exists, that relates, is occurring because of these three forces. And that without these three forces, none of it, anything, would exist at all. So to answer the question, why does something exist versus nothing at all? The work says, because of the three, the law of three. Because that is the means by which anything comes into existence. Why does anything exist versus nothing? It's a great philosophical question. Just feel into that question. Why is the universe here at all versus not being here? Why does anything exist versus nothing? One answer is because of the law of three. That before materiality, there's a law, a spiritual law that operates in the mind space of Source or God. And this law is the go-between between Source and God and all that exists that manifests. The work really connects to cosmology in a very significant way. And one of the principles, one of the key foundational ideas that shapes the work is the law of three. So we're talking about the power of three in the month of May. It's parallel tracking the teaching and curriculum of the Journey School on Thursday nights. But today we'll just hint at the law of three, which is different than the other power of three, which is called the three centers, which we'll talk about in the rest of the month of May. The three centers are, in sum, the intellectual, the emotional, and the physical. You can just very simplistically point to these places. We know that this isn't just the intellectual center, that the brain of the intellectual center, the prefrontal neocortex, is also connected to every other cell in the body. Even the gut is involved in what happens in our upper brain. And the brain itself has three brains, And so this notion that we're more than one thing and that we have multiple processes going on at the same time, that we show up in different ways and we respond to different situations from different places in us. And we need to learn how to respond to life from the right place in us. So if I respond to a physical, if I respond in a physical way to an emotional argument, I'm using the wrong center to respond, or probably react. If I respond with a hammer to an emotional argument, this is called using the wrong center and using the negative part of that center, and tends toward violence. It's very evident when you put it that way. But you can see it more subtly when it comes to how we use our centers. If you start laughing when someone tells you something serious about something, because you feel awkward or uncomfortable what they're saying, you're using the wrong center or part of a center to respond to something they're telling you, probably. And so we can see the practicality of this, the power of three, in the law of three and in the centers, our three centers. So today I want to just talk a little bit about the law of three, because when I first came into the work, obviously I was totally blown away by some of these ideas. I couldn't believe how practical they were and how philosophical and conceptual they were, answering big questions I had. Now, you may not have big questions, but I think most people do. And like what I was saying, that the law of three explains why anything exists at all, it's very, very useful. I know you could say, well, then where does the law of three come from? Well, I suggest it comes from the mind of God. And we can't comprehend what the mind of God is because we're outside of it. We're created by it. So we can understand it in part, but not in full. And not only are we in it, it is in us. So there's a correspondence, as like calls to like. So we can know a little bit what the mind of God is by studying our own mind and entering into the imaginal realm and seeing how powerful our mind space is to envision and conceptualize things and bring them into being by way of the three, the law of three. And that's where this becomes really, really exciting, because it's not just God who uses the law of three to manifest everything on this planet and this universe, so the work supposes. It's also we who get to get in on the game of the law of three. So here's a couple illustrations to kind of land the law of three for those who might struggle conceptually with what I'm trying to say, or this is the first time you've heard such things. Luke Skywalker had it in part, you know, the force is with us, but it's actually three forces that are with us. So we can begin to explore what these are. Here are a couple examples of the three forces in action. You want a loving relationship. You have a relationship now, or you want a loving relationship. You want that relationship to be more loving, more peaceful. That's a first force. Every human being wants to be loved. It's a normal first force. But what gets in the way of that first force? So a negative emotional behavior is second force. You want a loving relationship, but you have this tendency of reactive behavior that creates conflict in the relationship. You want so much this first force, but the equal extent to which you want that first force comes back to you as second force with your unhealed stuff. And it might keep coming back, which we call recurrence. First force, second force, what's the third force, which is the most mysterious and lovely thing to ponder? What would be the third force in this situation? Well, third force could be multiple different things. And technically, as far as I can tell and understand at my place of life, that third force can be somewhat amoral. And here's what I mean by that. There are better third forces to choose and ask for than others. There are more conscious third forces to ask for. So, for example, the third force for you wanting a healthy relationship but noticing this negative reactivity that causes conflict, third force could be a therapist, or it could be a lawyer. And some people it could be a hammer or a fist. And so you get what I'm saying, that there is a third force that can be destructive that you reach for, just as much as there can be a third force that's creative and brings reconciliation unto love. Third force is called the reconciling force. And you can be a strong man and reconcile things, you know, like the principal who's breaking up a fight. This kid wants the drink, this kid wants the drink, first force, second force, the principal comes in, is a strong man in the heaven, you're both expelled. That's a very low-level consciousness response versus saying, boys, come into my office, sit down, what's going on? That's a reconciling force at a higher level. So what I'm trying to say is that third force isn't just the magic fairy dust to throw over with this word. Third force, we have to be wise about the kind of third force we're selecting to use. And the dark arts and the dark magic can use powerful third forces to run the world and control the world to keep people totally asleep. So, for example, you have a hard day at work. You need to make money. That'd be a first force, right? First force. You need to make money. Second force, you have a hard day at work. You just want to give up. Third force, you turn to the vodka or the beer. And you can see how third force could be quite destructive in that and keep people asleep. Versus, you need to make money. You have a hard day at work. You come home and you sit for 20 minutes in silence and centering prayer. Totally different reconciling force. Totally different way of responding to the tension of, I need to make a living. I'm so exhausted, sick of this job. What's the neutralizing force? What do you reach for? I think this is clear to me. I hope this Mimi's at least nodding, yes. I can count on Mimi. Tim could too, right? It's such a beautiful thing to see these principles at work in our lives. You need income for your business, first force. You see the income in the savings account or checking, whatever, going down. You need income. Second force, there's severe competition or a downturn in the market, totally unrelated to you personally. But you've got these employees to pay, and the downturn comes, just total whack, second force. What's your third force? You could take out a loan. You could sell the business. Third force could be you go and you creatively find new people to sell your product to. You creatively find a new way of connecting. You build deeper relationships, different third force. Here's a very simple explanation. In high school, I was a pole vaulter. It's true. They didn't know what to do with me because I was too skinny to run the marathon and not strong enough to run the sprints, so they said, you pole vault. So this is my shepherd's hook that I was given when I received my doctorate of ministry from the director of the program. He gave all the degree candidates this beautiful shepherd's hook, which I thought was very meaningful. Come back to that in a second. But this is going to be my pole vault pole. Watch out. So in pole vaulting, all the first force is in the sprinting down the lane. So I'm running this fast, just sprinting as fast as I can, which is totally counterintuitive. All my first force is going in my running. Then all of a sudden, I place my pole into the box, and this and the pole become my second force, stopping my force, my first force. First force, running. Second force, resisting. What happens then? One wonders. So, if you don't want to die, you choose the third force that is also counterintuitive, and the next thing the pole vaulter does is lift the knee up. Lift the knee up. And this simple action of lifting the knee up transforms the energy that's blocking in second force, transforms it upward to fly. And so this is really, what is your third force that's transforming you into flight? To fly over the bar that you could no way other jump over. It's 10, 15 feet high. But just by transforming this energy, the blocking, resisting energy, with this third force, you go up. And it's extraordinary. Now, how they teach us to do that, the freshmen, they do it in the pool. They drop the poles into the pool, and we do it underwater. We do this movement underwater until we get it. And most people, you know what the chief flaw in pole vaulting is? This is what ends up happening. You get afraid, your emotions take over. Instead of locking with second force, you give in and you just go like this or fly off to the side. So it's a simple example, I think, of what first force, second force, and third force are and how third force transforms energy, can transform energy profoundly. And in a similar way, swinging in childhood, when we swing, we lean back to go forward. We lean back and then we kick to go forward. It's quite extraordinary, parabolic oscillation. It really is a physical example of you want to go this way, but you first have to go this way. There's going to be second force in our lives. So why is this important? You know, why is it important to know this? Can we function in our day-to-day lives without this idea of third force? Probably. We can probably get through life not knowing this idea. But wouldn't it be useful to calculate the fact that there's going to be second force versus reacting to it when it comes? In fact, Jesus tells several parables about second force. He says, there was a king who went out to war, and far away before the battle began, he spied the fact that the other army had way more men than him, And he decided that second force is too much for me. I'm not going to battle him. Very wise use of that principle. Calculating second force is one of the most important things we can do when we're making decisions. And the only way we really can calculate second force is if we're not identified with what's happening, if we can get a little space to observe what's happening, and then more consciously choose how we respond to the inevitable second force, and to ask for the highest form of third force possible. Which is why we add the spiritual dimension to this. Because every single prayer is a prayer begging for high third force from above. And if you just can hear Jesus' statement, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into that higher level of consciousness, that deeper level of understanding, unless you first are born from above. That is to say, being born from above is receiving the higher third force from above that is not from yourself, that comes from God, that comes from Source or Spirit or from wisdom. And so whatever you might be experiencing in terms of conflict or friction, if there's just smoke, and especially if there's fire, call upon the higher authority for your third force to come in and provide the miracle of reconciliation. Peter, James, and John and the other disciples were fishing one night, all night. They wanted to catch fish because they needed to have that income. They needed that first force income to fish. Second force, the lake is empty. The fish are gone. The fish are sneaky. Third force, Jesus greets them in the morning from the shore and says, "Boys, throw the net on the other side. See what happens." Third force, and the nets fill up. I know that might be magical thinking, but there it is in the Gospels. First force, we need lots of wine for the wedding party. Second force, people are going through it. It's so good. The vat is empty. We need wine for the people. The vats are empty. Mary says, "Son, please help them." And she says, "Do whatever our son tells you to do." And Jesus touches them by filling these vats with water, and they are transformed into wine. From emptiness into fullness, because this presence of a higher third force named Christ changes the emptiness into water, into wine. It's all over. And so from a spiritual perspective, from our own journeys, we can begin to just kind of ask for help when we are in that locked yes-no conflict. In those moments where our reptilian brain is the second force to our very self, and we have that inner conflict, and we don't know the way forward or how to go, and we feel like we're just these mechanical machines making the same mistakes over and over again, that's the moment to ask, to beg, to knock, to bang at the door. Give me the highest third force that reconciles what seems to be an irreconcilable situation. And sometimes unreconcilable situations, the third force is leaving or disengaging. That's equal third force as the miracle or transformation that you might think of as magical. So third force is beautiful, and it shows up in just the right ways for us when we ask, when we're looking for it. But again, a reminder, when we come into that force field, that gospel force field that says Christ is always God's yes, we can trust that and live into that and rest into that and ask for it. And to begin to experience that more in our lives is really one of life's greatest gifts, to begin to let go and let God and to see the yes that is there hiding in plain sight. It's so, so beautiful. Francis Thompson, who's a poet from the 1900s, who's most famous for his Hound of Heaven poem, has a poem entitled In No Strange Land. And it begins this way. He's talking about physical places, but I'm going to change it up. And he prays this way. O world invisible, we view thee. O world intangible, we touch thee. O world unknowable, we know thee. And if you just change that to God or law, it's quite amazing. O law invisible, we view thee. O law intangible, we touch thee. O law unknowable, we know thee. This is the grace that comes to us, that third force brings, that power of three, that God seems to want us on this planet to do something, to be a part of the three forces and to play our part, and not to give up by the difficulties, by the resistances, by the conflicts, by the opposition that comes. Nothing that is worth anything just comes into being without this friction. And so you might ask the second question, follow-up to why is there anything at all versus nothing? The second question is, why are things this way? Why is it this way on this planet? And the law of three answers that as well. It's this way, and it continues to be this way as you look around at the world and in our lives, in part because of the third force people choose, and in part because of the blindness that people have to the third force that is coming from above. That we tend to be third force blind when we're so identified with our negative emotions in that conflict. And so it really requires a different state of being to listen for that still small voice where the higher level third force is coming from. And if more of us do that, the world will change and will be different. And this is why all the wisdom traditions and the major world religions that have a mystical dimension to them all say, people, meditate, sit in the silence, get out of that lower brain and get up into the higher brain, and let the stillness and the silence integrate you. Because it's from that place that all of us can receive that grace that is the higher third force. And it will let us fly, lift us up, and evolve us in ways we can't even begin to imagine. So I hope this makes the three forces a little more practical for us. And just as an encouragement, that if you're interested in reading more about the law of three and three forces, some of the best explanations I've ever read about it are in Maurice Nichols' books called The Commentaries. And I'm not going to give you the page number, but you can look it up in the index or look it up online. There are many places to read about the Law of Three, but I find Maurice Nichols' description very, very useful because he hooks into the psychological application for our lives. So let's take a moment in the silence and just do a little soul tending. And just ponder in your own life, where are you experiencing the confluence between yes and no, between first force and second force? What have you brought into the room today where there is that friction of something coming into being? Just bring that into mind and into this sacred space. Perhaps it's a relationship or a situation. And now let's just, holding that, let us just wish for the highest good, the highest third force to come to each of us in that confluence of first and second force, and reconcile it and transform it. And in a container like this room, we can know it to be true before it has been. May the power of three come to our aid in just the right way, at just the right time, on our journeys deeper into your love, O God. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts this song.
He is risen. Oh.
Alleluia. He is risen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
When I pray, I feel my heart go deeper, my heart go deeper into my God. When I pray, I feel my heart go deeper, my heart go deeper into my God. Right here, right now, right where I am, I pray. Right here, right now, right where I am. When I pray, deeper into my God. When I pray, I feel my heart go deeper, my heart go deeper in my heart.
And now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, God's presence, and God's action in our lives. Amen.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we thank you for each of our journeys on this planet. We come from you and return to you. Teach us to live in love with you and one another and with ourselves and this earth. We remember our beloveds in this community and afar who are in need of touch of your healing and love, remembering especially this week Jasper, Chandler, Virginia, Anna, Stacy, PJ, Kelly, Kathy, Phil, Shelley, Jody, Krista, Weston and his family. A special touch of healing for Marty Evans' treatment from cancer, for Jan and Don and Rebecca's daughter. And we especially pray for our beloved sister and friend Deborah Jean Harding as she makes her transition into everlasting life. We pray for these that we have named and those that remain unnamed in our hearts now in the silence. We remember all people struggling with food and shelter and water, who have need of care and comfort, especially for refugees all around the world and immigrants. May the blessings we know come to them. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask and join in with the choirs and great circle of conscious humanity singing.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Mater misericordiae,
vita dulcedo, et spes nostra salve.
Ad te clamamus. Exules filii Eve.
Ad te suspiramus, gementes et flentes in ac lacrimarum pallidae.
Living and eternal Christ, we fear your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your blood and your body. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I can see your love, see it all around. I can see your love, see it all around. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Power of third force is with you. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hearts, our hands, our consciousness, and whether we give electronically online or in the basket in the back or by mail, let's remember the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. We dedicate all the tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. So good to be together, interconnected as we are, beings of heart and wisdom in this community. We'll take a brief break and we'll resume our congregational annual meeting, electing our 2025 board officers at 11:30. Blessings.